In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A blessed Mother's Day to all the mothers who are here present. Hopefully your husbands and your children and your grandchildren will treat you well this day in recognition of the great sacrifices that you have made for them and the great gift that you have given them by giving them life. Let us also pray for all of our mothers who have gone to God. The Lord indeed will allow them to see him in the fullness of time, face to face. In our Gospel from St. John on this fifth Sunday after Easter, the Lord speaks to us about that intimacy that exists between him and the Father, into which we are drawn by our love and our faith in him. I believe, brothers and sisters, that oftentimes we don't truly understand what it is that we have received and the dignity with which we have been blessed. To be called children of God and to speak about God as our Father is something that we could never have possibly imagined or envisioned or come up with on our own. It is only because the Father in his love, as the Lord himself testifies, in sending us the Son as a manifestation of that love, that we know of the true dignity that we have and the relationship into which we have been drawn. There are times when it is difficult for us to conceptualize the reality of this relationship because at times the Father does indeed seem distant and far off from us. But because of Christ and the revelation of new life that has come from him and in him, nothing could be further from the truth. We cling to Christ. We receive the living God. And in clinging to him and in receiving him, we are then drawn into this intimate relationship with our Father who loves and cares for us. It is precisely because of this relationship that we have some understanding of what our human relationships, our fathers, and on this day particularly our mothers, what the nature of that love should be like. It should be like, it should exist in the love unconditionally that the Father has for us. And we know that the Father's love is unconditional precisely because he sent his Son knowing that we were sinners, knowing that we had failed, and understanding that in all likelihood because of that original sin that we would continue to struggle. But instead of withholding himself from us, not only has he revealed that intimacy that he is our Father, but then he allows us to share in his very life through the mystery of his Son. And again, these are in some ways very high theological principles, but we have to lean into them often in order to truly understand the blessings that have been bestowed upon us. God the Father loves you individually, uniquely. Yes, we speak oftentimes about God loving us, and it's easy to conceptualize that God loves everyone, but then somehow it's always that we're a little bit off to the side. God loves everyone but me. As if somehow you're that unique that God cannot love you. But God does indeed love you, knows you, understands you, and wants to be in relationship with you. As much as he does that for all of us, because of who he is able to beautifully do that for each of us. What does this then mean in the manner in which we live our lives? Well, we listen to the exhortation from St. James. We then go forth and do things as men and women who understand themselves to be truly loved. Our charity is not motivated by good social order. It's not motivated by political correctness. It's not motivated by fear or governmental influence. It's motivated by love. Because I have been loved so completely and totally, I am then compelled to share that love in my daily activities, acts of charity, caring for the poor and the orphan and the widow, that traditional triumvirate of people who deserve our care. But also in the manner in which we treat one another, with care and forbearance, with love and patience, things that make up the life that we live in Christ. It's very difficult to do this with the ones with whom we live. The ones who know us well, and we know them well. We know their faults and their failings. We know their imperfections. Oftentimes we're on the receiving end of them, and we may hold them against them and somehow have all these things well up in our hearts. And then we neglect the fact that underneath all of that, or maybe beyond all of that, or pushing all of that aside, is this love that we are required to put into practice. It's not an easy thing to do. It truly was never an easy thing to do. This is why the Father knew that in the fullness of time, he would need to send his Son to us in order that in receiving his Son and receiving life in him by receiving him, we would have all the graces we need in order to actually love as we are required to love. And so now it can be said that it is possible for us to live the life that God wants us to live, and to love one another as God has loved each of us. But brothers and sisters, this can only happen in relationship with our Lord. And so certainly we must be here in this place Sunday after Sunday and be well prepared to come forward and to receive the living God, that as we eat his body and drink his blood, we are truly nourished to live this life. But then we must cultivate the life that has been given to us in Christ, that life that we share with the Father and the Spirit. And we cultivate that through a life of assiduous prayer, but also a life of charity lived deliberately and put into practice. And so, as we do indeed honor our mothers and love them well, despite all of their faults and failings, despite all the ways that they might drive us crazy, all the things that they ask and demand of us, we love them because they love us. That love that is so beautifully expressed in that intimate relationship must then spill out into all of our other relationships. And then in this way, this is how the world is transformed. We rely upon so many external realities to change the world, and we never look to the one person who's already accomplished that, and that is our Savior. The world is right. It is we who oftentimes who are wrong. God indeed has conquered sin and death once for all. This is what we have been celebrating in this Easter season. He is triumphant and victorious. All that remains is for us to share in that triumph and in that victory. And we are able to share in it by loving very concretely and simply those that God has put into our lives, our family, our friends, our neighbors, and our enemies, those we like and those we dislike, those who support us and those who reject us, those who know us and those who are unknown. You know where I'm going with this. At the end of our gospel, the disciples themselves conclude, "For this reason, we believe that you have come forth from God, because you speak plainly to us." And now the Lord speaks even more plainly to us, and in some senses, even more eloquently, as he speaks to us from the altar of sacrifice and from his home in the tabernacle. So we know what it is we ought to do today, to certainly celebrate our mothers and give thanks to God for the life that they have bestowed upon us, but to just as deeply to love one another as we have been loved, and to live rightly in the sight of God, protecting with great care the dignity that has been bestowed upon us, that we are beloved children of a Father who loves us deeply and completely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.